I speak in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
For nearly 20 years, I was vegetarian by choice. But even in this enlightened age, such a lifestyle choice is still a matter of consternation to some. On one occasion, not long after I had become a priest, I was invited to celebrate the licensing of a new colleague. And after the ceremony, there was a great celebratory meal. Plates of game were served. And there came that awkward moment when I had to decline and ask, "Is there anything for a vegetarian?" The woman gave me a withering look, then disappeared into the kitchen and returned with a small square of cheese. The implication perhaps being, are you a man or a mouse? Now, this was infinitely less embarrassing than the occasion when Benjamin Zephaniah, a Rastafarian rock poet, was invited to a poetry festival to perform some of his poetry. It was a large audience, and Benjamin Zephaniah is, like many Rastafarians, a vegan. And vegans, you know, live on beans and, well, just beans, I think. But he began his performance by raising his fist in the air and shouting, "Will all the vegans here tonight shout yo?" And there was a kind of deafening silence that followed on from that. He wondered whether perhaps people hadn't actually heard him, so he raised his fist again, "Will all the vegans here tonight shout yo?" Another terrible silence, after which he asked, "Are there no vegans in this town?" And an enormous man stood up in the back of the audience and said, "There was one, but we ate him." But whatever your preferred diet is, curious that in a culture overflowing with an abundance of food, that the opportunities for grand celebratory meals of rich food and flowing wine seem to be ever diminishing. But it is in the context of a banquet that Jesus chooses to characterise the kingdom of God in today's gospel reading. Once more, Jesus spoke to the chief priests and the elders of the people in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding banquet for his son." It can be no mistake that Jesus chose on so many occasions and in so many different ways to point out to those who would listen what the kingdom of heaven is like. It is like a mustard seed, like yeast, like a man who sows good seed in his field, like a net let down into a lake which caught all kinds of fish, like treasure hidden in a field, and like the banquet of a king. Formal invitations, a request spoken or written to participate, to be present, to take part in something, far from being a thing of the past, still form a current part of the way in which we find ourselves involved in communal events. As both givers and receivers of invitation, we know the pressure to attend, as well as the wounding sense of frustration and disappointment that a declined invitation may evoke. A natural point of tension in community life, we struggle in our egalitarian age to make our celebrations genuinely inclusive. In truth, they always were a focus for displays of wealth and opulence, highly classified affairs which defined status as well as opportunities to affirm friendships and acknowledge ties of blood. But an invitation necessarily implies an absence of coercion. It is not a command or a request made under threat of punishment, and therefore an opportunity which may be as gracefully declined as well as responded to. Jesus knew that the invitations we either accept or reject say quite a lot about us. We are drawn into an arena where motives are often mixed. the posh invitation on our mantelpiece massages our ego, and we are boosted by inclusion in what others perceive as exalted circles. In today's Gospel, we hear Matthew's version of the parable of the banquet, in which the event is communicated through a wedding event given by the king for his son. From the outset, Matthew has Jesus making clear that the event is something which may be compared to the kingdom. And it's worth noting that he is speaking to the chief priests and the scribes. This audience would have known that prophecies of the messianic age refer to a banquet to which the righteous will be invited, and they would have been certain that their own invitation was secure, not merely in the post, but hand-delivered. There is no doubt that Jesus picked up this imagery and worked with it. The Hebrew terms translated as banquet are all rooted in wine-flowing celebrations. You will recall that Jesus' first miracle was to turn a wedding banquet into exactly such an occasion. The Qumran community, which existed before Jesus was on earth, shared a common meal as a ritual anticipation of the messianic banquet. And at the Last Supper, Jesus tells his disciples that in this meal, they were sharing a foretaste of the age to come. The not so subtle underlying theme then is that this is an event in which everything should be coming together. It's the marriage of the king's son, a once in a generation event, a budget busting bonanza for the glossy magazine of the first century. C-list celebrities and ticket touts would have killed to get their hands on one of the invites. But something goes badly wrong. The A-listers start to pull out with some pretty flimsy excuses. And it's clear that they haven't understood the king who is inviting them and want nothing to do with the son whose big day it is. An embarrassing second request is sent. Do you know who you are refusing? Do you not understand what it is you are being invited to? But they made light of it and even killed the messengers. By this point, both we and Jesus' original audience realize there are going to be consequences. Worse still, the scribes and Pharisees would have realized that is they who are being described, the party poopers, the honoured guests who cock a snook at the invitation and who will face the consequences of their stubborn unwillingness to recognise the nature of the king's invitation or the son who is among them while the banquet grows cold. This is Matthew's lens, through which consequences are usually serious. The king is enraged, the murderers destroyed, and their city burnt. Other guests are brought in. A glorious vision of the kingdom banqueting hall, filled with guests, all whom they found both good and bad. Jesus had taught his followers, when they gave a banquet, to invite the poor rather than the rich and the influential. We should get used to it, because this is where we are heading, a feast at which the excluded are included. I glimpsed the kingdom of heaven once. It was a night shelter in a city warehouse, where on a cold winter's night, the shutters were pulled back and in poured the so-called dregs of the earth to be greeted like long-lost sons and daughters. Fed and sheltered, perhaps they too glimpsed a world beyond our world. But the sting in the tale of Matthew's story is the man who even then does not wish to be there and is speechless when challenged on the dress code. Matthew bids us face the fact that in Scripture, the blessings of the gospel are sometimes presented as a requirement to attend a banquet, to be a part of the kingdom, to play a part in the kingdom, means learning to recognize who is inviting us to the feast and the meaning of the invitation. Only then can we know what is meant when the priest says at the Eucharist, "Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Blessed are those who are called to his supper." Lord, beyond our understanding, you alone are God. You speak to a world of unwise rule and shallow indifference. May the one who came to sit at table with the victimized and excluded disturb our barren peace and call us to another feast where only love may rule, through Jesus Christ, the one who invites us to come. Amen.
Amen.